We're so glad that you're listening to the Branches Podcast. If you're in the Houston area, we'd love to see you in person at 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. For more information, go to branchesHTX.org. We hope this message helps you draw closer to God and that you hear the good news that you belong. Thanks for listening.
Well, good morning. My name's Tom Pace. I am one of the pastors at St. Luke's. I'm privileged to be on a team of incredible clergy and staff who work together in ministry. And Colin, you should see him in his dress over there today. He's preaching in our traditional services, and so he's got this necktie on, and it's actually quite impressive to see that. I am so proud to be here with Branches. I'm so excited about the work that Branches is doing, that we're doing as part of Branches. I just want to give it gives me an opportunity to just sort of share how this community of faith works. So we have a whole family of ministries, a campus at our Gethsemane campus over in Gulfton. And we have Branches. All of us share the same vision of a city transformed by the love of Jesus. We all see ourselves as making an impact on our city. We're not here just for ourselves. We're here to reach people in our city. And Branches has, then each of those ministries, each of those communities has a separate mission statement. And Branches is so clear that it's about inviting people who are curious about Jesus into a community of belonging. Those people who have obstacles that keep them from saying, yes, I'm fully in, whether it be their cynical about the church, whether it be it seems like the Bible seems full of contradictions, or there are miracles I don't believe in, or all of those things that might be obstacles from people coming into a relationship with Jesus. Branches wants to be that place to say, just come and experience belonging. You believe here, you fit here. You find a place here where you are welcomed and loved, and together let's learn about this. Let's explore it and take those steps to continue to be closer and closer to that relationship we have with Jesus. That's what we're about. I always say to people, the people that we want to be in Branches, to be a part of it, isn't just to come to a different kind of worship service. It's to be a part of a community, two different kinds of people, those who are curious about Jesus and may have those obstacles, and those who really want to be about the business of reaching those people who are curious about Jesus and removing those obstacles, helping them to find this place of belonging. That's what Branches is about, and I am so excited and pumped about being with you today. We pray for you often, and I'm always listening to Colin's sermons afterwards and going, gosh, I wish I'd have said that. At the risk of using too much of my time, it really is kind of funny because last week in my Easter sermon, I began it with an illustration of me riding in my Jeep with the music playing loud and so that other people could look at me and say, oh, I wish I was him. And Colin began his sermon over there today with a story about a guy who pulled up next to him with the music loud and all of that, and he was thinking, who are you trying to impress anyway? So I don't know if he knew what I'd said or not, but it was a little knife in the back there as he began the sermon. So we're going to talk today about trees, and I love trees. We have this place in Hempstead. Our family, extended family, has a place in Hempstead where we gather. I have 11 grandchildren and five daughters and sons-in-law, and so we have this place where we gather, and we have lots of trees, and trying to keep them all alive and all of that is a big part of what I spend my time doing. I want to show you some of the trees because this is what we call the big tree, and you can't even see how big it is, but if you say at our place, hey, well, we'll meet you at the tree, that's the tree. And you see that? I'll go back. See that? There's a vine that's about this big around that goes up there. And it is just this amazing tree. Go to the next one. This is our vulture tree. That's right over our house. I don't know what that means, but they gather there all of the time and just watch us. They're waiting for a grandchild to die or something. I don't know. But that's a good one. Here's the next one. This is, I got to cut it down. It's definitely dead. But I thought during Lent it was a good thing to leave there. You're going to be talking later about the tree on which Jesus was crucified. And I see that, and that's what I think of on that day. And then there's one more I wanted you to see, and that is my tree house. I just wanted to brag about it. I built that last summer for my grandkids. Now, one of the things about trees that are so powerful is that they are a way of experiencing the passage of time. You may have planted a small tree and watched it grow, or maybe your parents or grandparents planted a tree and watched it grow. I wanted to show you something. Show this picture of 1951. This is St. Luke's in 1951. No trees anywhere. There, if you see this bottom little corner there, that's Westheimer. Up in the top right is Buffalo Speedway. And that little dirt road is what is now our parking driveway, the Blanton building up in the far upper right there. And you see that one tree? That tree got knocked over and the sanctuary was built on top of it. So you see no trees that are there, but somebody planted a tree. And look at the next one. Isn't that an amazing tree? That is. I love that tree. And I just look at that and I think about somebody believed in what the future could be and planted a tree that then would grow and grow and grow and spread its branches. And that's what we do as a church. We want to continue to grow and spread our roots and our branches to reach more and more people. So today we're going to be talking about a particular tree, and that is the tree in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So let's take a look at this. Before I read that, I'm going to get in trouble because I was supposed to tell you to check in. So please check in. And there's a little thingy on the floor, a little QR code, and there's one right there. So please do that. That helps us a whole lot. All right. Let's listen to the scripture from Genesis chapter 2. This is from the Common English Bible. The Lord God took the human and settled him in the Garden of Eden to farm it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the human, eat your fill from all of the garden's trees, but don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because on the day that you eat of it, you will die. Well, the story picks up again then in chapter 3. The snake was the most intelligent of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say that you shouldn't eat from any tree of the garden? The woman said to the snake, we may eat of the fruit of the garden's trees, but not the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. God said, don't eat from it and don't touch it or you will die. The snake said to the woman, you won't die. God knows that on the day you eat from it, you will see clearly and you will be like God. Sometimes we don't know if that was, depends on the translator, like God or like gods, knowing good and evil. The woman saw that the tree was beautiful and delicious food and that the tree would provide wisdom, so she took some of its fruit and ate it and also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And they both saw clearly and knew that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made garments for themselves. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, open us up today. You have something for us to hear in this message. Some word in the midst of these words, your word, your living word, speak to us. Open eyes and ears and open hearts, God, that your word would fall in. And then open our hands that we might serve. Amen. So this is called an origin story. So if every culture has some sort of origin story. And, the word origin story, there's two different kind of ways of understanding. Sometimes they're called etiological stories. And that comes from the word that means cause. Etiology means cause. I prefer, there's a French word that's often used called pourquoi. A pourquoi story comes from the word meaning why. So an origin story is designed to tell us why. Why we do, why we are who we are, why we act the way we act. So whether you see the story of Adam and Eve as a literal story of people who lived some years ago, or whether you understand it as a story that is passed down, a narrative that is passed down from generation to generation to remind us of why, either way, we have to understand that the basic purpose of this is to tell us why we are the way we are and why our relationship with God is the way it is. Sometimes you all maybe have gone, it's kind of the thing now, if you go on someone's website, it used to be you had the mission statement, right? This is our mission. Now more and more you'll see a little click that says our story. And it, you look at it and it's usually their origin story. This is why we exist. This is what happened that led us to exist. And so for Judaism and for Christianity, this story is our origin story. And it is designed to tell us why things are the way they are. So let's take a look at the, I want to walk us through some components of the story and see what we can learn. So here's the first one. Look at this passage. It begins this way. The Lord God commanded the human, eat your fill from all of the garden's trees. First thing I want us to see in here is satisfaction. So I think it is so interesting that when we talk about this story, everybody goes to that tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree they weren't supposed to eat at, that one tree they were told, stay away from that tree, and they miss the first part of the story in which God says, eat your fill, enjoy. I'm giving you all of these trees of the garden. All of these are for you. You can eat whatever you want. In fact, the scripture, it puts that as part of the command. In other words, it's not just you may eat the trees from all the fruit of the garden. It's eat, enjoy, experience, be satisfied by what I've offered you. One of the most powerful experiences of my ministry came when I was serving a church in the city of South Houston. City of South Houston is a fairly working class community. Many of the people built the homes themselves. And there was a woman there, an older woman, she's passed away now, named Fanny. Fanny Roden was her name. She was in her 80s at that time. She's very small, diminutive lady, maybe four something. We have a number of older people in our church, and she always wanted me to come by and visit her. So she would call me and say, hey, Reverend Pace, or she called me Brother Pace. Hey, Brother Pace, sometimes Brother Tom, I have baked a pie for you and your family. Do you mind coming by to pick it up? What a trick that was. So I would go by, and you can't just stand on the doorstep and say, where's the pie, right? You have to go in and visit, and I loved it. It was a break in my day. And one day she told me the story of her life. Fanny grew up in Louisiana in a sharecropper's family. When she was 14 years old, her father had abused her, and she wanted to get out of that family, and she got out of that family the only way she could was she got married. And so she was married at age 14, and she lived with this man who abused her. He also abused her. She had two children with him, and they moved from Louisiana to the city of South Houston, she and her two kids. She cleaned houses to make a living. She ultimately got this house that a lot of people lived in, these shotgun houses that they had a front porch, one room, and then one or two bedrooms and a kitchen, all in a row. I used to see her up on top of her roof cleaning out her gutters, and I was like, come on, Fanny, somebody will do that with you. One of her sons died before I knew her, and then I did one of her son's funerals. And so she was alone with no family. And so I'm sitting with her, and she's telling me the story of her life, and she said, but you know, I have everything I've ever wanted or needed. And she said, do you know I own this house? She said, you know, I have our church. Our church is so wonderful. I have you as my pastor. I have everything I've ever wanted or needed. And I thought to myself, I wish I was that satisfied. I wish I felt like I had everything I ever wanted or needed, that I am satisfied. I have enough. That's the beginning of this passage. I mean, that's what God intended for us, is to say, you have all of this. Experience it. Live it to the fullest. I want you to have everything. It starts with satisfaction. And then the story goes on. But don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There are boundaries. There are boundaries for us. In other words, if you want to experience satisfaction in its fullest, there are edges to that. And yeah, I'm 65 years old now. And if I were to sit down and try and make a list of all of the things that I have learned often the hard way, here's one of them. Outside of the boundaries, there's mostly pain. That's what's out there. That when that part of you says, I'm not satisfied, this isn't enough. Surely there's more than this. When that becomes your mentality and you think, I'm gonna go over there and experience something that surely that will make me satisfied. What happens over there is mostly pain. We think to ourselves, oh, it'll be awesome then. I'm a Cat Stevens fan. I grew up listening to him. And actually, my wife and I, when we first were starting to date, she would play the piano and I the guitar, and there was this song we did called The Wind. I listened to the wind of my soul. It's a Cat Stevens song. And in it, there's a verse that says, I've swam upon the devil's lake, and I'll never, 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 never make the same mistake. No, never, 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 never. Because what's outside of the boundaries is pain. Is this experience of saying, no, I'm not satisfied out here. It's just pain. So then the story goes on. It goes this way. He says, don't eat of that tree, because on the day you eat of it, you will die. So there are consequences outside of those boundaries, right? Consequences is an essential element of this story. In fact, maybe it's what the story is all about, is that consequences. Robert Fulghum wrote a wonderful book I love, and I love the title maybe more than anything. It's called It Was on Fire When I Lay Down on It. And it's based on a story of a guy who the fire department saved him from his house on fire, which had started on the burning bed. And they asked the guy, well, how did your bed catch on fire? And he said, I don't know. It was on fire when I lay down on it, which, you know, makes absolutely no sense. Why would you lay down on a burning bed? But he did. And in the book, he has this great quote, which has helped me a lot. He says, he's telling of this story of a meeting with this kind of guru master. And the master says to him, it helps to understand that fire burns, and when it rains, the earth gets wet. Whatever, there are consequences. Nobody is exempt. Whatever, there are consequences. So everything you do will have a consequence. Every decision you make, every step you take, good or bad, will have a consequence. And there's no, that's a law, right? There is no sense in which there are no consequences for those things that we experience. Someone has to pay a price. I mean, in fact, isn't that the whole essence of the Christian faith, right? That there were consequences that Christ took on our behalf, but there were still consequences. There had to be consequences because that's the way life is. Whatever, there are consequences. Now, what are the consequences of this action, of this tree? Well, there's sort of two ways to look at that, which I find really interesting. So the first one, which has been the one that most Christians take hold of, is this idea that the primary consequence is death. That until this sin happened, death did not enter the world. And that this brought death. The Lord God says, the day you eat of it, you'll die. Death comes into the world because they eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in fact, as you see later in the scripture, we see these words. Hang on, I'm getting there. The Lord God, this is verse 22. The Lord God said, the human being has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. So now, he doesn't stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. The Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to farm the fertile land from which he was taken. In other words, he wasn't going to live forever. He was going to die, and they wanted to make sure that he didn't reverse that consequence by taking hold of this tree of life, because now death has entered the world. When I was 15 years old, I had a friend. His name was Steve Warner. He was the son of the associate pastor of the church where I had come to Christ, where I got up every morning and showed up at church. I don't know whether they were open or not. I mean, every time the doors were open, I was there. Steve was a great guy. We lived in a place where you could go rock climbing and rappelling near there, a place called Giant City State Park. Steve was a year and a half older than I was, and he would pick up a few of us, and we'd get in the back of his pickup truck. Don't ever do that, boys and girls. We would get in the back of his pickup truck, and he'd haul us out to Giant City State Park. He had all the ropes and stuff, and we'd go climbing. He was so full of joy. He never wore shoes. Just, I don't understand. Steve was diagnosed with a brain tumor, a glioblastoma. He was at St. Barnes Hospital for many, many weeks. His father would take us over sometimes after church, and we would get to visit with him. It was about 90 miles from our house, and come back again. And we watched Steve die. And I thought to myself, why? Like, why? I don't understand. This guy's amazing. And his father was struggling so much, and he was trying to explain it to us, and his heart was broken. He said, I don't know why, but all I can tell you is the world is broken. And because of that sin, we live in a broken world. And death still is still present. And it hasn't been, the victory that we celebrated last week has not been fully consummated yet. And we look forward to that day when death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. That's what Revelation tells us. But death enters the world in this moment. Now, the other consequence is a different approach. And that is that the consequence is this sense of shame, of self-deification. Here's the funny thing. Maybe the snake was right. Maybe the snake was right that it says, the day you eat of it, you will die. And they didn't. They didn't die. In fact, exactly what the snake said would happen, happened. Which was, they knew the knowledge, they saw clearly. Here, well, what does it say? It says, This is what verse four is, what the snake told them. The snake said to the woman, "You won't die. God knows that on the day you eat of it, you will see clearly and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Then they both saw clearly and knew they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made garments for themselves. So the first thing is this sense of shame. Before that, as naked folks, they are completely vulnerable, completely open, completely intimate with others and with God. There are no obstacles, nothing that stands in the way between them and other people, when their other people will come, and between them and God. But in that moment of sin, that obstacle comes into place. And now that relationship with them, with God, is broken, right? They have, in fact, here's what's interesting. This, we didn't read this passage, but God shows up then and says, "Hey, where are you?" As they're walking and hiding in the garden from God. Now God can't even find them. So how are you? Where are you? This broken relationship that we have is a result of our sin. And how are we gonna replace that? And now we're covering ourselves, hiding ourselves, and that intimate relationship that we had with God has gone. And the other piece of it is that now we begin, if we know the knowledge of good and evil, what do we need God for? We become our own gods. You know, I've struggled so much with this sort of balance between thinking that each person needs to be authentically themselves, to really find what their own values are and live into those values and align themselves with those values. And sometimes you'll hear the people say, I need to live my truth. This is my truth, I need to live my truth. So that's on the one hand, and I understand that need to be authentic. But on the other hand, we live in a time when all of these thousands of different voices are telling us what's true. And there is a sense in which there is a truth. There is a truth, right? There is something that is really true that we can hang ourselves on, that we can believe in, that can give us a structure so that we're not the center of our universe. Right, that as some people will say, I just want you to be happy. No, it's not just about our own making ourselves the center of our universe. So here's a little strange story. Oh, I'm already 3 minutes in the red. There is a, when my father divorced my mom and remarried and had two kids that are basically my children's age, a little bit older. And when my sister was born, Dee and I were together, and we went out for pizza with my father and his wife and Dee and me and their brand new baby. And I remember they took the little baby carrier and they put it in the middle of the table as we ate our pizza with the baby in it. And I thought, uh-oh, I think this baby's going to be the center of the universe, right? I mean, that's what we tend to do. We teach people, you are the center of the universe, and it is all about you. It's not about you, right? We are not gods of our own lives, but God has given us a way of life that we can hang on to, that we can believe in. And that when all of those other voices about what's true, this is true, this is true, this is true, we can look beyond ourselves. We don't just look inside our hearts to say, well, I wonder what I'm thinking. But this is what God is offering us that we can take hold of. All right, one last story to close. I want to go back to where we started and what God is offering us. Many years ago, when Dee and I were first married, before our first baby was born, a nice man in the church I was serving decided we needed to go to London. And so we had no money, like literally no money. And in fact, my father gave me a little letter of credit, because we didn't have credit cards either. We left for London with $70. And he bought us a plane ticket. He bought us a train pass. And a tour of Windsor Castle. That was what we were given, all those things, and the hotel. And so we didn't think we needed any money, except we would have to buy breakfast. And so we ate at a hamburger place called Wimpy's every day. And that's all we ate. We didn't have any other money. We ate Wimpy's every day. So I'm checking out of the hotel at the end of the day, and I look through this room, and there is this ballroom set up, and there is this huge English breakfast as we're checking out to go home. And I'm like, oh, wow, what's going on in there? Is there a conference or something? And he said, no, that's included with the room. It's included with the room. Like, we could have had that breakfast every single day, but we wanted Wimpy's. My friends, that's what God is offering us, is this satisfaction of a smorgasbord for us. We have all of this to experience within the boundaries. And the payoff for that, satisfaction. Let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, we're so grateful for your presence in our lives. And you are Yahweh Yireh, the God who provides everything we need to be satisfied. God, we ask that you would turn us away from that other tree, that tree that will separate us from you, across those boundaries that makes us believe that somehow we are the center of the universe. Forgive us, God, and help us to take hold of the magnificent gift you've given us. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.